Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. Well, we are still in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the opening six verses, and dealing with Paul's description of his own ministry. And there are so many things here that are very important to God's people today that I'm having a hard time moving along. I'm just spending an awful lot of time applying what the text says to the current situation today in Christianity and in churches and in various ministries. And so that's what I have been doing. I'm still here, haven't finished this section yet, and I'm coming back to it again today. But I thank you for it. I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your presence listening to the broadcast today. And I thank those of you who find this valuable enough to help us financially to make sure that we can continue teaching God's Word on the station. If you would miss this ministry if it were gone, then it very well may be that the Lord would have you help us with the financial needs. Well, what did Paul say by way of description of his ministry in Thessalonica and really a description of his ministry every place he went? And we've been working our way through four items that Paul himself gives us here. We're elaborating upon the fourth one now, having dealt with number one. He said his ministry was effective, but he said it in an understated way, remember? For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. Not, you know that our coming was great, it was grand, it was glorious, we had a great meeting, we had a great revival, we had a great ministry. No, you know it wasn't in vain. It did have powerful effect. I get so tired of these ministries that are more promotion and public relations than they are truth. I suppose I got involved in a lot of that in my early years, and I think one of the things that really began to challenge me was in the very early days of my own pastorate. I got involved in a citywide crusade sponsored by about 40 some different churches in another city, but it was close enough by that we could go and take our people to these meetings and get involved in the crusade by a well-known preacher in that day. And because I was in this group of 40-some churches that were sponsoring the meeting, then I got involved on all of the planning and details of how the ministry was carried out. And I got kind of an inside view of what was going on. Before I had attended meetings similar to this as an attendee, a spectator, a worshiper, whatever you want to call it, but an individual who just went to the meeting, showed up at the meeting time and observed what was presented in that hour and a half meeting, or however long it was. But now I was actually in on the planning. I was in on the inside aspects of this meeting. And without going into too many more details, I will say that in this crusade, as is often happens, many people came forward, walked the aisle, came forward, made decisions. And I was part of the It's been so long now, I've forgotten what you call them. The counselors that talk to people who came forward and talked to them about their need and prayed with them and helped them to firm up their decision. And they make a record of it, get their names and addresses and so forth, so we could turn all this in. And so there were hundreds of salvation decisions in the course of this week. Thousands of people who attended the conference in a big arena in another city, and hundreds of decisions that were made for Christ. And this was all highly reported. But here's what I'm getting to. We had a follow-up meeting about 6 months later of all the pastors of churches that were involved. And the man who was heading all this up, a pastor in another city who was respected by many other pastors and was the one who had called for this meeting and called people to cooperate with it and had organized it. He'd worked very hard in it. So 6 months later, he, standing before the 40-some pastors who were involved, and in these decisions, I should have said, when people made a decision, then they were told, they were asked if they had a church. And if they didn't, then the personal worker, that's the more correct name for it rather than counselor, the personal worker had a list of the sponsoring churches, and based upon the address that the person gave to them, they would say, well, I'd recommend you go to this church, which is near your home. And there you will be followed up. There you will be able to make a public profession of faith and be baptized. There you will be able to get into a church and get your Christian life going in the right direction, find the fellowship of other believers and be taught the Word of God and so forth. So, 6 months later, the head of this group of sponsoring churches says, how many of you, he thought there was going to be a big response to this, or he probably wouldn't have asked this question, how many of you have people in your churches today as a result of this crusade, of this several, he gave the number of how many decisions had been made, let's say 600 and some decisions, how many of you have people in your church because of this? And he was expecting lots of hands to go up, and he was planning to go around and ask each pastor who raised their hand, how many have come to your church? How many of you come to your church? How many hands went up? One. How many did he have coming to his church? Just one. Hundreds of decisions. I'm not saying that none of them went to other churches, but hundreds of decisions 6 months later could only identify one person who was in a church and living what appeared to be a godly Christian life, a changed life, had become a true follower of Jesus Christ. Only one. That was embarrassing. Got me to thinking. I had to go away. I had to drive from that meeting back to my own city about 25 miles away. And I remember on the way thinking, just I didn't turn on the radio, I didn't do anything, I was by myself, and I was just thinking in the car, I wonder if we would have seen more results if every one of these 46 churches had just made a concerted effort to do evangelism in their own neighborhood, to really reach out in their neighborhood, and had just made it 46 local churches all working diligently at the Great Commission in their own neighborhood. I wonder if we would have had more evidence to report. And my conclusion was probably. Wouldn't be as splashy. Wouldn't be in this great public arena. Wouldn't be this famous, nationally known preacher. Wouldn't be this report of 600 and some decisions. Probably most people would never even know about the other, what had happened to the other churches. But let's suppose that 46 churches got their congregations, instead of getting them involved in coming night by night to attend this meeting and getting many other people involved as trained personal workers and all of this, had just taken all of that organization and energy and had gotten their people out of their neighborhoods working to get out the gospel, to talk to people about their need of Christ and to invite people to church and done their best to get people to the Lord, Jesus Christ, first of all, and then into their own churches. Suppose that every one of those 46 churches in doing that diligently had only seen one result. Most of them would have said that wasn't very spectacular. They might have even wondered, well, I don't think anybody would have wondered if it was worth the effort, but they would have said that wasn't much of anything. We tried real hard, but we didn't see any great results. I don't think we would have been saying with the Apostle Paul, you know that our entrance to you was not in vain. It was not ineffective. It was not ineffective. I think they would have said, well, it was effective. We have won, but it's not much. But if 46 churches each had won, that's 46. What we had out of the great public crusade with all the PR was one. If each of the 46 churches had just gained one, then there would have been 46 instead of one. You see what I'm saying? This is one of the things that really got me thinking, and I realized that the way to do God's work is just to do it His way. Probably this idea of a big crusade is not really such a big idea, a good idea anyway. You don't see anything really like that in the Bible. You just see individual Christians in local churches witnessing in their community and God blessing that and people being saved. It's not big. It's not spectacular. It's not the sort of thing that you placard all around and write articles about and invite people to come to seminars about the one or two people a year that you see saved and brought into your congregation. But if you just see one or two or three or four, or five or six in a year, that doesn't seem like a whole lot, but multiply that times the same 46 churches that were involved in this crusade, and if each of them had five in the course of a year in their ministry, that would have been 250 genuine conversions, not reported decisions that from all evidence proved to be empty, but rather 250 or so genuine conversions, not very spectacular because it's just a very small handful per church. But you see, when you put all the churches together, what a impact that really is. And that really started me thinking in a different way about a lot of things. And when it comes to doing the Lord's work and evangelism and how to carry it out, and I really understand what Paul is talking about here. His ministry was unpretentious by design. It's better that way. Just do what the Bible says to do. Leave the results with God, but do it God's way and see what God will do. And if you are faithful to do it God's way, He will be pleased, and He will reward, and He will let you know when you get to heaven what the results were. And we all know that one sinner coming to Christ, truly being saved, is worth the whole world. Well, come back tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.